Live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Show, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Total Education Show. I'm the host of the show, Neil Haley. Again, go to my website, TotalTutor.org, to find out more information on the Total Education Network and the Total Tutor. I own a Birth Through College tutoring and consulting company. You can call me at 412-523-0289 for a free phone evaluation of your child. I'm really excited about the show today. Always, it's just a pleasure to welcome the program my co-host, Jarrett. Jarrett, how are you?
Very good. Thank you for asking. I hope you're doing well. But on my end, we're doing very well. Thank you.
And we're in the process of writing our book, and that really makes us all excited. And we don't know when the release will be. It's all a new hat for us, but we wouldn't have thought when we met each other years ago that we'd be considering writing a book. So how exciting is that? And that's something, just one of the exciting developments coming up with the network. But let's go to the topic tonight. And I was talking to you off air, and I'm excited to hear about it. So what's the topic?
Well, you know, it was one of those things that we really have kind of talked about in the past. It's an issue that we have heard from parents and our listeners about. And, you know, really that's teaching your kids not just about value, about money and what it is, but really why we need it. You know, kind of really looking at value, having your children understand, you know, really what the ways... what we need, what works for us, and the difference between what we need and what we want. There we go.
Well, it's a tongue-tied thing, but I think it's very, very important to teach your kids at an early age the value of money, understanding how money's made, understanding that not everyone has so much money, and really that it's something that should be valued, and that how important it is to learn to, I guess, take care of it and cultivate it. And so that when, you know, nothing, we don't hand everything to our children, because then they'll think that's how life is, right?
Well, that's exactly right. And you would use the words cultivate and care. And I think that those are really two words that are so important to having a child understand what financial responsibility is. And you know, we've talked so many times about modeling the proper behavior for your child. You know, you've asked your child to learn how to talk. You teach your child to learn to walk, and you see those. You know, the child sees you do those things. So there's no question that money falls right into that very same thing of how you teach your child about saving, spending, financial responsibility. Those are things that we can absolutely show our little ones what to do simply by watching what we do.
Exactly. And it's always, we talk about this on our show, parents, you model what your kids are going to do. So if you model the wrong habits, 9 times out of 10, your children are going to do the same thing. So I guess the steps are for the parents to cultivate money in the correct way and not to overextend themselves so that their children will understand that value, correct?
That's exactly right. And, you know, one of the things that, one of the sayings that I use with my son, and I have several that I use with him and that our listeners are familiar with, but one of the sayings that I use really to talk about money with my son is, you can have everything. You know, you can have anything, really, is what I say to him. You can have anything. You just can't have everything.
Yeah.
And I think, and that to me is really one of the things that I want my son to understand. There are no limits that you have on yourself. That, you know, what we do so many times, we place those limits on ourselves. And I let my son know, you can do things that you dream about. You know,
right.
You can dream about these things, but you can never have them all, and nor would you want them all. And that, I think, is very, very important for us to model as parents. If we're living in, you know, I don't want to get into you know, what parents should be doing with their money. I'll simply say that if as an adult we're living with the kind of the mantra of I want that, I should have it, I deserve it, we're going to pass that right along to our child.
Exactly. So true. And so how can we do this? How can we make sure that we're doing the right thing?
First thing you can do, and we've talked about this so many times, is preparation. Have a plan in place. You know, once your child learns to talk, your child will begin to tell you what they want. You know, they're going to see a commercial on TV. I want that. That's very cool. I want what those dolls can do. Or, you know, you have children, I'll tell you one of the ones that my son sees are squirt guns. Whenever he sees the squirt guns on TV, on a commercial, you know, he lets me, I want those. And of course he does it. They make it look fun. You know, they also, the advertisers make it so that they kind of target it to say, you know, you deserve this. You should have this. You want to be fun. You want to have fun just like these people on television are doing.
So true. Yeah. Exactly. And so they want that. So I guess to let them know that, guess what? It's not, we can't get everything, as you were talking about in that mantra before, but I guess to let kids know, specifically communication, wouldn't you say that's a key?
Yeah, communication, the preparation. You know, and again, when you're able, just like our show, we prepare for it, we talk about it. What are our topics going to be? What do our listeners seem to want to know from us that will help them? And that's the advice that we give parents constantly, is preparation. When you are prepared, you'll be able to know what to say, what to do. So when you're teaching, when you are teaching your child about value and about money, and again, what it means to be responsible with finances, you can do this with a 3-year-old. You can even do this with a 2-year-old. That's the preparation. How do they learn about money? At 2 years of age, I was already having my son put coins into a piggy bank. We counted them. We then talked about what he could potentially do with that money.
Right.
You're already laying the foundation for your child at 2 years of age. This is what you can do, what you can get with money. You want those squirt guns. There's a value in those squirt guns. And letting him know, you know, letting your child know, he or she know, that when you don't have enough money, you have options. And those options are, you go out and get more money, or you make the choice of, I don't need this right now.
And I want to address that. I don't need this right now, when we're in a society that we must have it right now attitude. It's a difficult thing, especially when we have wants that will make our lives easier.
There's, you know, when it comes to money and value, adults, we are so much like children. We have the notion of instant gratification, and that really comes through credit cards. You know, we don't have the money for it now. Let's put it on a credit card. Now we can get what we want. And yet, when you can't teach a child about that, you know,
right.
And I'm not even sure we can teach adults really about that, because that's why adults will overspend on their credit cards. That's why I really keep it tangible with my son. You know, this is the currency that we use. This is money. This is what will allow you to get what you need. Try explaining to a child the whole notion of credit. You can't do it. Or you can try it, but I'm not sure you're going to be too successful. But you can teach your child about, you know, when you have this amount of money, you want these, you want this toy, you want those clothes, you want those shoes. You can get those as long as you have enough money to really meet the value, or what the perceived value of that is. So again, that's how you can, this is what I suggest to parents all the time. that's how you can truly teach your child about money and value.
And I think that just explaining that now and also teaching them to understand it. You said about the piggy bank. You talked about letting them know that we can't have everything right here and now. What other suggestions do you have?
Well, one of the other things that we do with my son is we talk about how much money he gives away. Kind of like the family trust fund or the really just how generous he is going to be with his money. Helping him recognize that that the joy of earning that he is experiencing can also carry over to the joy of giving, and that means giving to someone else. So, and we do this in a way with my son. Almost all the money that he gets is used for saving. It goes into a savings fund that we hope eventually one day he'll use to take care of himself at college or something like that. But 10% of the money he gets also, just like my wife and I do with 10% of our money, also goes to giving that money away, whether that would be to a church or anything that is important to family. So my son, if he gets money for a birthday, 10% of that money is something that he will then donate.
That's great. And I guess they learn already that there are people that need it that don't have it.
Exactly. And I think that that's, again, one of the best ways that we can model for our child what it means to have money, the value that you can generate from it, and it also takes the kind of the precedent away of always using your money to get what you want, what the individual wants.
And Jared, again, great conversation today. Really enjoyed the topic. Email me on HaleyTotalTutor.org. Follow me on Twitter, Total Tutor, and you comment. Do you think that Jared's on the right track on this? I think he is, absolutely. And I think that if we can eliminate spoiled kids, they won't become spoiled adults. And I think that's what you're telling. You're teaching your child the value of money, teaching your child the value of material goods and how they're supposed to be a means to the end, not just something that continually you pull from. So I appreciate you calling the program, Jarrett, and look forward to our topic next week, okay?
Thank you, Neil. Very good.
All right, take care. All right, bye. That was Jarrett. You listen to the Total Education Show. Total Tutor here for the Total Education Minute. Remember to go to my website, TotalTutor.org, for more information. Well, I had a new contributor come on about news article, and she talked about a very, very interesting thing. Dr. Jennifer Little, one of the contributors of the network, brought up something that just absolutely shocked me. A child, a high school student who is truant, but a very good student, an honor student, and sometimes tardy, sometimes not in school, is going to have to serve jail time for not following the rules. What a ridiculous thing to punish a good student just because she has extra jobs, she has a lot of responsibilities, so we're going to punish them. Let's punish the parents. Let's put them in jail when kids aren't showing up. But then let's look at this one. Should we punish this girl just because of that? Email me, nhaleytotaltutor.org. I think students that perform well should be held to a higher standard. What do you think? We're back to the Total Education Spotlight Show on the Total Education Network, and this is my favorite segment because I get to talk about to celebrities about education. Where else can you do this? And what's really exciting about is when we have teenagers that have made success but still are grounded enough to understand how important academics are. And I want to welcome the program Amber Lilly, a Disney star, a radio star, and much, much more. Amber, thanks for calling.
Hi, no problem.
And Amber, tell our audience your background if they do not know who you are, that are what you've done in your career, and then let's talk about how you're able to stay grounded and really be successful still academically.
All right. Well, I am a singer. I do a lot of music for Radio Disney, and I've been performing a lot and pursuing a music career, just kind of following my dreams. But I'm also a student, and I go to a normal public school, and got to keep up the grades and everything. That's how I was raised. So glad to be here.
Okay, let's talk about why academics is so important to you. Because, again, a lot of times, and just to tell you my background, I played college basketball, Division III, was a professional wrestler, but all the time I was still keeping up with my academics till at one point becoming a certified teacher. So I always knew that academics were very important to me. And how is it, especially when you have such a great gift and talent, are you able to stay grounded to know that you need to keep up with the books and you know how you have to be successful still doing that, especially when you do take AP courses? Not everyone does that.
Well, definitely I was raised knowing that school comes first. You know, I wouldn't be able to pursue my music career if I wasn't, you know, solid on my grades and making the right habits as far as education goes. So it's just been easy for me to kind of keep up with it because it was just ingrained in me as a young kid. And so it's also important for me because I do believe in backup plans, and I know a lot of people in Hollywood get caught up in making it, but realistically, it doesn't happen for everyone. So you definitely have to have education on your side. Otherwise, you won't have a way out. And, you know, I think it's important for everyone to keep up with their education. And regardless of whether they're following their dreams or not, you can still make it happen.
And when you first started in your career in singing and acting and all the different things that you were doing, you basically were not known. So you were going to school, doing the regular deal. But I want to kind of explain, just to tell you my background, we're right outside the area where the success of the America's Got Talent. I forget her name now. It'll come to me in a second. But she had to go back, and she went back to school at Pine Richland and stuff outside the Pittsburgh area. The one that was second in America's Got Talent. I'm going to think of it in a second. You probably would think of it. It will come. It's in the tip of my tongue, but whatever. That basically, how are you once you did make it, to kind of go back to school after that success? Because that's got to be tough. Because now, you know, people say, oh, we know you. Look, you have 12,000 Twitter followers. You're very, very known. So before you had your big break, how difficult was it to kind of maintain being a regular student again after the success that you've been having?
It's definitely hard, especially high school, you know, can be brutal, and, you know, fitting in, everybody wants to do that, right? Well, it's kind of hard when you're pursuing a music career to exactly fit in with everyone, but that's okay. My school is also very supportive of me, and that helps a lot, at being able to have my teachers understand, you know, the position that I'm in and have them be able to help me out whenever they can. And it really does require a team. It requires a lot of my parents' help and a lot of, you know, my peers and teachers and stuff to support me too, because otherwise, you know, one person really can't, you know, commit to their career and be schooling like a normal kid at the same time. It's just, it doesn't work, but you can make it happen, and it's important to me. And I guess if anything is important enough to you, then you can pursue it and effectively make it happen.
And what's surprising, Amber, a lot of people after the success that they have, like you had, usually decide, well, I'm just going to get a bunch of tutors, you know, and not really go back into the classroom setting. What made you think and understand the side? Because a lot of times you could say, okay, I'll just have tutors tutor me all through, you know, like some of the professional athletes that are younger, or specific other singers or entertainers, they decide, well, I'm just going to have a tutor follow me, you know, and I just go on the road and have tutors all the time and really not go back into the classroom, or maybe go through cyber school or specific things. But what made you say, well, you know, I want to go into a building and be with my peers again after the success?
Well, I did grow up in public school, so that's just how I was taught. There was one point where I was homeschooled for a period of time, and I just really didn't like it. It wasn't the same, you know. It's harder to teach stuff to yourself. Even if you have a tutor, it's just not the same as being there with your peers, with people that you grew up with and know well, and it becomes a fun learning experience rather than kind of an annoyance, you know, which it can become if you're just being tutored all the time. It's not something you would exactly look forward to, whereas school can still be fun.
Unless you have me as a tutor, Amber, just to say, I'll make it fun and it's interesting. But you're absolutely right, because a lot of times it's just all business. And when you get to go into the school, especially a public school, and be able to hang out with your friends still that you had before. So here's the question. Were you at the same school before you had your stardom, or did you have to relocate or have you always been from this area where you're located now?
I've always been from this area that I'm in right now, so it was kind of easy. But a big transition for me was I moved down to L.A. during my 8th grade year. So I went to 7th grade from, you know, preschool up to 7th grade, all in public school. 8th grade moved out and then came back and jumped right back into high school. And so that was kind of an interesting change there for me, you know, seeing everybody that I hadn't seen in a couple years, and they grew up a lot. And, you know, it's just interesting to me coming back and seeing how everyone is. But then you kind of get to know people again. And it was hard at first because people don't exactly understand the work and stuff put into becoming a singer and all the work involved in chasing your dreams. But it was also important for me to be at school and be there and submerge myself into normal life, because, you know, you really should know how to communicate with other people regardless of, you know, what you're doing. I think it's important to be in regular school.
So the question I have to ask, Amber, like, how did your friends, especially before you said you went and then you became very, very popular very quickly. Like, you get that big break and boom, things completely change. I mean, check out your website and how fabulous it is and the amazement of what, I mean, whoever your web designer is, give them kudos, because I've seen a lot of different celebrities that have come on my show. I see their websites and I'm like, come on now, but this is interactive. This is great for your fans. So that's something that definitely you'll have to promote at the end. And it's funny, I've had certain people on, like Bob Goen, former Entertainment Tonight. He doesn't even have a website. So at least you're knowing how important it is to have that landing page to get to people, your social media and all the specific things. But once you did make it, and I guess everyone wanted to be your friend, your true friends, how did they deal with the changes in your life? Because that's another great question, because a lot of times egos can get to you and new friends become. But once you did make it, what did your other friends in your class, your classmates, think of it, especially your good friends?
I mean, haters are going to hate. So obviously I had to deal with that coming back, but my true friends were still with me the whole time. Like, I came back and visited, and I did what I could to be able to keep up with everyone. And it, you know, it gets hard, but I was able to make it work. And my friends are still here with me today. And, you know, when you grow up with someone, you really can't get rid of that bond. So I wasn't too worried about that coming back.
Well, that's good. And I think that's the important thing. But what, and you said there, the haters will be the haters, but have you gotten harassed a bit because of this, of the superstardom when you went back to your school at all? Cause that's
no, I mean, I wasn't really harassed, but I mean, I guess, you know, people will talk, but nobody exactly said anything to my face or was bullying me or anything to that extent. So it, it worked out.
Right. Especially when you hear stories of other celebrities, like Dr. Oz's daughter has an anti-bullying campaign, cyberbullying thing that was going on. And I was talking to them over at the National Publicity Summit, and I had the race car driver on and all the specific people, but they've talked about having to go through those things. So I think what helped you was that when you were at that school, they knew you were going after your career. They knew that you were talented in certain ways. So, you know, because you moved from your old school to LA to go to high school. So a lot of people probably in your classes, are there any other stars that attend your school? That's a good question.
There's a lot of people who have different roles in the entertainment industry. I know that there's a lot of talented musicians at my school, and there's also a lot of talented DJs who've graduated from my school. So, there's a lot of talent coming from the Bay Area where I live, and you know, we all support one another. So,
well, that's so important. So, tell me some bit of your family background and the decision to decide to become the career that you're in. Did you have always wanted this, or is it a place where your family's always kind of encouraged you to be involved in this?
I've definitely always wanted it. It was definitely me pushing myself the whole time. Obviously, my parents were very supportive, but it definitely started out from my drive and my desire to be where I'm at today.
So tell me some of the current projects you have going on to promote for your fans, especially new people that are listening to the show tonight that will want to follow Amber Lily on Twitter. Go ahead and like her on Facebook and really listen to her music and learn more about what she's doing. What new projects are you have coming up that you want to promote?
New projects. I'm working on an upcoming EP, so got a lot more music coming and working on some new collaborations. We just started working with a new DJ, so I'll be doing a lot of shows and performances with him as well, and that's really exciting. So just a lot of new stuff coming up, and it's going to be an exciting year.
All right, fantastic. Where can we find more information on you, Amber? Learn about where we can listen to your music and more about what you're doing in your everyday life.
What website
can we find more information on you, Amber?
Right. Everyone can check me out on amberlily.com and, look into what I'm up to, YouTube, Twitter, all of that's on there. So everyone can follow me and keep up with what I'm doing.
Well, I appreciate you calling the program, Amber, and it's really great to hear that you're staying grounded, even though the success and that you're going out there and going after your career, but also having education as a backup plan. And it's very good that you're getting great grades and trying to do your very best. So thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
No problem.
Okay. Bye-bye. All right, that was Amber Lily from Radio Disney. See you later. You're listening to the Total Education Spotlight Show on the Total Education Network, and we'll be back in just a moment. Total Tutor here for the Total Education Minute. Remember to go to my website, TotalTutor.org, for more information. Well, I had a new contributor come on about news article, and she talked about a very, very interesting thing. Dr. Jennifer Little, one of the contributors of the network, brought up something that just absolutely shocked me. A child, a high school student who is truant, but a very good student, an honor student, and sometimes tardy, sometimes not in school, is going to have to serve jail time for not following the rules. What a ridiculous thing to punish a good student just because she has extra jobs, she has a lot of responsibilities, so we're going to punish them. Let's punish the parents. Let's put them in jail when kids aren't showing up. But then let's look at this one. Should we punish this girl just because of that? Email me, nhaleytotaltutor.org. I think students that perform well should be held to a higher standard. What do you think? Site TotalTutor.org to listen to all the shows. And if you're not hearing all the shows, you contact your station to make sure that it's played. I hope everyone has a great week. We'll talk next week. Good day, everyone.